The heart can only enjoy as much as the seat can endure, amen? So it's good to be able to stretch a little bit and let the blood flow into those limbs, hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I was talking about watch night service. Somebody said, y'all don't do one of them, do you? New Year's Eve, y'all going to stay home, aren't you? Y'all going to go watch the ball drop or something, ain't you? And I said, well, I have to be honest with you. I'm one of them kind that likes to go to church, amen. They said, you're crazy. I said, I don't know. I said, where I'm going, they've got heat, and we're going to enjoy good food and good fellowship. And I said, I done seen that crowd that went to New York City, and it's going to be -5 in the wind chill factor. I'm pretty sure I know which crowd is crazy, amen. Hallelujah. I think I'll hang out with a crowd that'll wake up tomorrow without any regret. Thank God. Wake up tomorrow rejoicing. And I'm just glad to be in the Lord's house. Man, we've done heard some singing tonight. My goodness. What a blessing. If you got your Bible, I thought Brother Dennis was going to preach my message a minute ago. He said, 1 Thessalonians 4, I about panicked and ran out the back door. 1 Thessalonians 4 is where God would have us to be tonight. In fact, I believe God used that to confirm that in my heart. I started arguing with God on the front pew about the middle of the singing. I said, surely this isn't the message you want us to preach tonight. And God said, it is. And I said, but I know a real good one over in Chronicles. He said, no, this is one. I said, but there's a real good one over in Luke. I even went and looked at it and showed it to him. And he said, no, this is the one. And I was arguing with him. And Brother Dennis got up and said, 1 Thessalonians 4. I said, praise God, we're on track tonight. Let's read the first 8 verses. I'm going to do my best tonight and preach through this chapter real quickly and give you something from God, from my heart and God's heart to your heart, and trust that God can do what we cannot do. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do recall doing this some years ago. Brother Dennis called us and said, Brother Jason, what are you doing on New Year's Eve? I said, well, we're having a New Year's Eve service. He said, well, so are we. I said, yes, sir. He said, would you come preach mine? I said, well, I'm having one. He said, well, can't you make it to both of them? And I said, yes, sir, I believe we could. And my mind immediately slipped back to over a decade, almost 13, 14 years ago, when Brother Dennis called me one night and he said, Brother Jason, what are you doing on New Year's Eve? And I said, well, we're having a watch night service at Emerton. He said, well, can't you make it to both of them? And I said, yes, sir. And so I remember it well. Of course, back then I had a lot more hair and a lot less waistline. Amen. Things have changed a little bit. I'm not going to tell him I came and preached a New Year's service. I'm going to go home and tell him I preached the youth service. It's been a long time since I've been on the youth service circuit. I used to preach youth services a lot when I was a lot younger. Like I said, more hair, less waistline. I used to do a lot of youth service. I ain't done any of them in a long time. I'm going to go home and tell them I preach a youth service tonight. Amen. Amen. Don't you refute me or argue. Don't. When you go online tonight on Facebook, you're going to say, Brother Jason preached a wonderful youth service tonight. I want to preach tonight, God being my helper, on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just a little bit here. And as we're looking at closing out an old year and moving into a new year. And we can look back over all that God's done. We look forward to what God is wanting to do in our life. And I would have preached this a little while, God being my helper, on this thought, abounding in our walk. Abounding in our walk. If you look at chapter number 3 and you look at the last 3 verses here, you'll see that the Lord wants to make you abound, increase and abound in love one toward another. And you'll see that he wants you to grow or establish your hearts in verse 13 in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And then he opens up chapter 4 and he tells us in verse 1, he said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Can I say this to you tonight? God wants you to have an abundant life. God is interested in you living the abundant life and enjoying abundance in life. God is wanting to bless your life. And I don't know about you, but I can't do without the blessings. I can't make it without his blessings. When I think about Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When I think about that, I said, God, I need the blessings of God. I can't make it without the blessings of God. I won't make it through the next day, much less the next hour, if I don't have the blessings of God. But God tells us something. He says, I want you to know something. You can have the blessings of God. A lot of times we think that blessings come in some mystical way. But I want to tell you, the Bible's clear. There's 3 ways to access the blessings of God. Some of the blessings of God, you can pray down some of God's blessings. You can pray them down. I mean, you can get on your knees, call on God, and we've got a God who will hear and answer prayer and will send blessings into your life. But I want to tell you also, the Bible shows us you can believe down some of the blessings of God. You can just simply believe and trust God and walk on faith, and he will put some blessings in your life as an act of faith and obedience to God. But I want to say the 3rd way, and a lot of people don't want to talk about it, is you can access, there's certain blessings you'll never access unless you live down the blessings of God. Oh my. He tells us in Psalm 1 how you can be blessed. The problem is a lot of people don't want to walk that path or go that direction, and they refuse to take the steps necessary to enjoy the blessings of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I would tell you, there's some blessings to be had you can pray down. There's some blessings to be had you can believe down. But there are some blessings you won't get unless you're willing to live them down. I want to talk about this abounding in our walk, if I can, tonight as I look here in 1 Thessalonians 4. I remember when I was first learning how to drive, and I had been driving on the farm around cutting firewood and stuff a long time before I ever got out on a road. And I remember that when I got out to drive, I was kind of like this. I mean, I'd grip that steering wheel and I'd stare straight ahead. I mean, my eyes was locked on the road. I'm driving like this, you know. And my dad would say, son, did you see that car? What car, Dad? He said, that car, you almost hit that car. I said, I'm staring right here. He said, son, you've got to look around a little bit. You got to be aware of your surroundings. You got to exercise defensive driving. You need to be aware of what that dude's doing and what he might do and might not do. And you got to be prepared. He said, look around a little bit. Well, I got to looking around, got to enjoying that. I'll never forget it. I can remember the road I was on. I can remember exactly where I was at. I'm driving down the road. I was like, look at that car over there, man. That's really cool. Look at that bird in that tree. I mean, I'm just looking around. Finally, my dad said, son, you got to look on the road. I said, what, Dad, you know? He said, son, you got too confident. He said, listen to me. And I'll never forget him saying this phrase. He said, you tend to go where you're looking. I drive by someone on the side of the road. I get focused on them. He'd say, son, be careful. If you focus on that person on the side of the road, you're liable to hit them. He said, get your eyes back over on the road and pull back over on the road. You tend to go where you're looking. Can I tell you tonight that we need to get our eyes off of the crowd and get it back on the glory cloud. We need to get our eyes off of this world and the things of this world and set our affection on things above. We need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sent down on the right hand of the Father. We need to be careful where we're looking, because you're liable to end up where you're looking. You're liable to end up where you're looking. And so we see that. We see a number of these things here tonight. I want to show you some out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 real quick. In the first 8 verses, what we see here is a walk, talking about abounding in our walk. We see a walk that gets holy. It's a walk that gets holy. And it results from an inward look. He says, when we beseech you therefore, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And he goes all the way through verse 8, telling us about a walk that gets holy. Can I say, number one, there's a holiness, there should be a holiness in our steps. By the way, holiness preaching, I don't know why, but sometime back it became unpopular. When I was a kid growing up, preachers used to preach holiness. They preached that if you was born again, you ought to strive to be holy. They preached out of Peter where he said, be ye holy as I am holy. That what has happened in our churches that we've stopped preaching on holy. I'm glad I'm in a church tonight where the preacher preaches against sin and preaches against ungodliness. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to get back to the place that holiness is a priority in our life. We see here, in the first verse there, you got the King James, no, NIV, whatever you got here. I don't know what that is, amen. Let's see, he said, the receipt, remind us, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and please God. No more, there'll be a holiness in our steps. There ought to be a holiness in our steps. Our walk ought to be a walk of holiness. We ought not allow these feet to trod where sin has sludged in. We ought not be dragging our feet through the pits of despondency and the pits of despair and the pits of iniquity. We ought to be keeping our steps holy. We ought to be walking in a manner that is so there ought to be a holiness in our steps. I'm reminded tonight, and I would remind you that wherever you go, whatever footsteps you leave behind, somebody is following your footsteps. My. I'm afraid that if the youngins that are following some of our footsteps are going to end up where we're leading. There's too many folks in the church today that want to come to church and they're born again, washed in the blood, but they don't want to walk in holiness. And the generation coming behind them may not be saved. And if they follow your steps, they'll wind up in a devil's hell. I'm going to tell you, we need to have a walk that is holy. There's a holiness. There should be a holiness in our steps. Look at the next verse. Not only should there be a holiness in our steps, but he says, for we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. There ought to be a holiness in our scriptures. Amen. There ought to be a holiness in our scriptures. That book you're holding in your hand. Listen, you know what? I've come across a generation today that they think that when we got saved, there's no more commandments. That we got saved, there's no more instruction. We got, oh, I'm saved, don't have to worry about it all. I got news for you. Paul says here, God's given you some commandments through the Lord Jesus. We listen, hallelujah. I'm glad I got this book. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to take the preacher's word for it. I can go to the book. Amen. I'm glad God sent us an instruction manual for life, the Word of God. It's a holy Bible. It's a holy book. It's a holy scripture. Ought to lead to a holy life. Amen. Then we see not only holy steps, steps that have holiness and holiness in our scriptures, but then he says this, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Can I say that there ought to be a holiness not only in our steps and a holiness not only in our scriptures, but there ought to be a holiness in our stops. A holiness in our stops. He said to abstain. I'm going to tell you, there's some things as God's child we ought to stop. Amen. 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 Woo. There are some things that need to be stopped. You know, they said, oh, we don't want to preach abstinence in the schools anymore. We want to teach abstinence in the school. I'm going to tell you why. Because we stopped preaching it in the pulpit of America. There's some things that God's people ought not be meddling in. Amen. We need to put some stops in our life, some holy stops, some things to say, you know what? That's got to stop in my life. This has got to stop. I can't meddle in that anymore. Somebody needs to put some stops on the internet. Somebody needs to put some stops on pornography. Somebody needs to put some stops on music. Somebody needs to put some stops on the things that we are watching that is infiltrating our homes. I'll never forget, I came under great conviction one time. A young man was preaching chapel in our school. And he got up and preached at chapel. And he said, would you invite somebody in your living room to commit adultery? Man, I got in my heart. I said, there's no way I'm letting somebody come to my living room commit adultery. He said, would you let somebody come in your living room and take the Lord's name in vain? I said, buddy, nobody better show up in my living room and take the Lord's name in vain. He said, would you let somebody come traipsing through your living room half naked and scantily clad? I said, buddy, I'm not allowing that in my living room. And then he said, then you might want to turn off your television. And they preach a little thought on, I will set no evil thing, no wicked thing before mine eye. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, I'm not against television. I'm not against these things, but I will tell you this. We better put some stops up and say, I'm a holy child of God. And there's some things that need to stop. I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just saying we got some holy scriptures. And in the holy scriptures, there's some things that need to stop. Can I say this real quick? Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Isn't the Bible wonderful? I'm talking about a walk that gets holy. A holiness in our steps. A holiness in our scripture. A holiness in our stops. Look what he talks about those stops there. And he says, abstain in verse 3 from fornication. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That's this earthen vessel. That's this old clay body. And can I tell you something, child of God? There is a war going on inside of every child of God. Because every child of God is 2/3 saved. Now I'm as saved as I can get right now. But I got to tell you this something. I carry an old man with me who still craves the things of this world. I got an old man that I'm having to drag through this life. I'm talking about I'm as saved as I can be saved. But there's a part of me that's not saved yet. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this old clay body, this old flesh body, this old body is still as corrupt as it can be. But thank God one day there's going to be a change. I'm going to trade this whole body for another body on the other side. But until then, I'm going to be in a war with this old boy right here. Woo! I'm telling you right now, there's some things we need to abstain. We need to be able to occupy this vessel with holiness and godliness. And we better be careful unless we become shipwrecked. But then not only that, look at that. Look at what he says here about these holiness in our stops. Look what he says here. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying right there, if we're not careful, you're not going to live any different than a dirty, low-down sinner that's never been saved to know any better. And he said, that ought not be so. Shame on you that have sat under the preaching. Shame on you that have the Holy Ghost inside of you. Shame on you that are still living like you're lost when you've been born again. In our walk, needs to get holy. It ought to get holy. We need to go back to preaching on holiness. There's nothing wrong with holiness. I'm not talking about holier than thou. I'm talking about holier than I used to be. I'm not talking about being looking down your nose at somebody and judging and critiquing them. I'm talking about being not holier than thou, but holier than I used to be. Hallelujah. I don't believe in sinless perfection. I don't believe any child of God is ever going to get to the place they never sin again. But I don't believe you'll ever be sinless. But I tell you this, if you're a growing child of God, you will sin less and less and less. Unless, if you have a walk that gets holy, oh my, I just want to follow Him. I just want to honor Him. I want to have a walk that gets holy. But in those steps, let me say this, in those steps, there's only one way to get holy. And that ain't by grabbing your bootstraps and doing better. There's only one way to get holy. And that isn't by turning over a new leaf or making a new resolution. There's only one way to get holy. And that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever was and ever will be holy. And He will make you holy from the inside out. All right, let's move to the second thought here. We're talking about having an abundant walk. If you've got an abundant walk, you have a walk that gets holy. Number two, look at verse 9 through verse 12. I hadn't read that yet. Better read that. Let me use yours. It seems trustworthy. But as touching, oh yes. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. Oh, I like that. But as touching brotherly love, you need not write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Indeed, you do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you that you do it more and more, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet. I didn't realize that was in there. I skipped that. And do your own business. Well, that can't involve church folk at all. And to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Can I say this? We need to have a walk that gets holy. But number two, we need to have a walk that grows honesty. A walk that grows honestly. He said, walk honestly towards them that are without. Look at that. Look right. I'll just give you three thoughts out of that right there. A walk that grows, by the way, if you're walking with him and you're talking with him, if you're walking with him and talking with him, guess what? Somewhere down the road, you ought to be growing. It's a growth process. Thank God it's a growth process. Can I tell you something about growth? You got to be patient with growth. I got a witness here. You got to be patient with growth. Man, I was always short my whole life. I still is. And I never forget, we had those medical journals. You remember the encyclopedias? And then they had the medical encyclopedias. And I never forget, I was 9 years old when they went to the medical encyclopedias and they pulled them out and said, look, here's a growth chart. And we can tell based on some things right here about how tall you're going to be. I was 9 years old. I'd always been the shortest kid in the school. I was always a teeny tiny little thing. And I said, man, I'm excited to find out how tall I'm going to be. My dad, he looked it up, and I'm standing there going, how tall am I going to be? 6'3", 6'4", I mean, you know, somewhere in there. I don't know how it's going to work out. Dad said, son, looks like you're never going to be 6 foot tall. I was a little disappointed, but then I was real upset when he told my younger brother, 18 months younger than me, he said, oh, it looks like you're going to be about 6'1". I said, let's go back to the Bible. These books are full of the devil. Now, I remember we had a doorway in our house. And us little kids would go over there and we'd back up against that doorway. And man, you use the doorway so you straighten your spine out. I mean, you get an extra 2.5 inches out of that. And then if you're really good, you can tippy-toe like this up against the door and get another 1.5 inches. And Mom would come over there and she'd take that pen and she'd mark that. And I'd say, whoo, look how tall I am. And then my little brother would come over there and you know something? When they first started doing that, I went out every week. I said, maybe this week we've had some success. I've really been striving at this thing. You know something? That line never did move. I'm telling you, growth takes patience. If you're not careful, you'll be looking at the mirror every morning condemning yourself, and you'll be saying, I'm not getting anywhere. I don't seem to be growing in the Lord. I'm having the same battle and the same struggle. I feel like I'm in the same cycle and the same loop. Hey, just hang on a while. If you're walking with Him, you're growing whether you know it or not. It is a walk that grows honestly. First of all, look at that next verse, verse number 9. He said, but as touching brother love, you need not tie around you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Can I tell you that in this honestly, you ought to be an honesty in your love. Woo, that's the first place. You're not going to grow till we learn to love one another. We're not going to grow until we have the right love towards Christ and the right love towards our brethren. He said that's the first great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. And the second's like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But I'm going to tell you, there ought to be a growth in our love for one another. There's going to be a growth, a holiness in our love, a growth in the holiness of our love. But not only that, number two, look what he says here. Look at verse number 10. 9:10. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren. That's that love. Look at verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you. There ought to be a growing holiness, a growing honesty in our labor. A growing honesty in our labor. Do you see that, what he's saying right there? He's saying we need to study to be quiet. We need to learn to do our own business. We need to learn to work with our own hands. I would tell you, in America today, work has been determined to be a four-letter word, but that the Bible stands clear that God expects us to be men who are willing to put our backs to the work and willing to labor. A man that won't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. Woo! This isn't real popular preaching, but I didn't come here to be popular. I came here to preach what God put on my heart tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to have an honesty in our labor. We need to be laboring together and striving together and working together. A man ought to learn. A man ought to learn to work with his own hands and do his own business. Shoo! That's some heavy preaching right there, Doc. That's almost pastoral preaching, that we need to get busy. There needs to be an honesty in our love and honesty in our labor. But then look at this. He says there ought to be an honesty in our look. My. Give me that Bible. I'm going to use this Bible more than you use it. Look here in verse 12. That ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. What's that about, preacher? What's that about? I'm glad you asked. Them that are without, that's that crowd that's not in. That crowd without is the crowd that's not in. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in the body. I'm in the church. I'm in the family of God. But I got news for you. There's a crowd that's not in. They're without. And you know something? They're looking at me, and they're looking at you, and they're looking at the church, and they're watching our walk. And God says here, we ought to grow, and as we grow, we ought to grow in our love, we ought to grow in our labor, but we need to grow in our look. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they're looking at us. And there's this popular thing going around today that God's not interested in what's on the outside. Yeah, it's real popular in churches. God's not interested in what's outside. He's only interested on the inside. God never said that. Go to 1 Samuel and you'll find when Samuel was picking out a king, that's where they get this idea from. When he's picking out a king, here comes all of David's brothers and they're big old tall, strapping, good looking guys. I mean, king material. You hear what I'm saying? King material. Here they all come. And old Samuel's doing the best he can to discern. And he's trying to figure out which one of these big old, oh, that one's big and tall and strong and good looking. He'd make a good king. Oh, there's one right there. Big and tall and strong and good looking. And everyone after that just seemed like he's bigger and taller and stronger and better looking. And finally he gets through and God says, none of them. No, Samuel says, Jesse, let me take one more look. Bring them back by here again. Jesse says, all right. Here they come by again. And he's looking at them. Big, tall, strong, good looking. Bigger, taller, stronger, better looking. Bigger and taller and stronger and better looking. And he says, surely this one. Surely this one. Surely this one. Every time God said, no, no, no. And he says, man, I don't understand this. So Jesse said, well, I do got one more. But he's low run. And he's kind of ruddy of complexion, which means he's sunburnt. And he don't look like, he doesn't look like king material. And Samuel said, well, bring him out. I don't know what else to do. They brought him out and walked him by. And God said, that's the one. He's after my own heart. No, Samuel said, but look at that big, tall, strong, good looking. And God said, you're looking on the outside. I'm looking on the inside. Now, can I tell you, God cares about what's on the inside. Don't get me wrong. God cares about what's in. No matter how great it looks on the outside, you could be a whited sepulcher, Pharisee, good for nothing, looking good on the outside and full of dead men's bones on the inside. Yeah. But in this particular case where this story comes out, Samuel's trying to discern. He's looking on the outside. But thank God he had a helper who was looking on the inside. Amen. But that doesn't mean God isn't interested in what's on the outside. In fact, if what's on the inside is right, here in a little while, what's on the outside will start looking right. Amen. And he says, if your walk grows and grows and grows and it grows in love and it grows in labor, he said, they'll be looking at you from the outside and they'll be saying, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. That's the kind of guy I want to be. That's the kind of life I want to have. That's the kind of love I want to have. That's the kind of labor I want to have. I want to tell you, too many of God's people look and act just like the world, talk and smell just like the world. They'll never make a difference in the world until there's getting some holiness to growing in our life. Now this walk, we're going somewhere. Yeah, we're going somewhere. This walk starts by, it's a walk that gets holy. Oh, but then there's a growth process. Once you got holy, by the way, only holy you never gets from Him. All of your righteousness are as filthy rags in His sight. But once it gets holy, it starts growing honesty. Oh, and it starts growing honestly till you're walking honestly before them that are without, and they're looking at you, and you don't even know they're looking at you, but they're looking at you, and they're seeing stuff you ain't seeing because you're growing. See, I used to go stand by that door, Brother Gilbert, and I'd back up to it and try to get so tall, and when I'd turn around and look, I didn't see nothing at all. Maybe just a sliver higher than the last time, maybe just a sliver, but I'll tell you something, I was looking at it every day. But once a year, we'd load up in a car and drive halfway across the country and go see Grandma. And when I'd walk in to see Grandma, now Grandma wasn't but about 4'3". And when I'd come in to see Grandma, she'd look at me and say, "Whoo, what are they feeding you, son? You're growing like a weed." "Well, yes, I am, Grandma. I might be 6'2 one day. You just never know." "Oh, you're a growing boy. Get that boy some biscuits and gravy." Hallelujah. Woo. I did learn there's more ways to grow than up. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? You stay with Him. You walk with Him. You may not feel like you're getting anywhere. Just hang on and keep going and stay close to Him because you're growing. You may not know it, but the guy down on the job, he's been watching you, and all of a sudden your Sunday morning became Sunday morning and Sunday night, and all of a sudden your Sunday morning and Sunday night became a Wednesday night, and all of a sudden he's saying there's something going on in his life. They're watching you grow. We need to get an honesty in our look. We need to look more like Jesus every day. Now, I could preach on that a while. I believe in predestination. I believe that to him he did foreknow, that's the saved. He also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son. And I believe, hallelujah, if you ever got born again, God's begun a good work in you, and he who begun a good work in you be faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's a working on me. Hallelujah. You may say, "Preacher, you got a lot of flaws. You need to polish up." Oh, yes, I do. But just be patient because he's still working on me. Yeah. I love that little old kid's song. "He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me." Hallelujah. I got to give you the last one and we'll go to the house. Or at least I'm going to the house. I don't know what y'all are doing after this. Actually, I'm going to church and I'm barely going to make it. Hey, man, y'all pray that the law is chasing drunks on my way home. 9 to 12, verses 1 through 80 shows us a walk that gets holy. Verses 9 through 12, he shows us a walk that grows honestly. But now he's going to show us in verses 13 down to verse 18, a walk that goes home. Hey, listen, you may think we're not getting anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Honey, I'm going somewhere. This walk's going somewhere. Hallelujah. I came to Calvary and fell and threw myself at his mercy. And I found that where I threw myself at his mercy, I found there wasn't just mercy there, there was grace. And I found there wasn't just mercy and grace, there was love. I found that where my sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I walked away with a holiness that I did not deserve, and a holiness that I could not merit or earn, and a holiness that I could not get on my own. And then I started walking with him and talking with him and growing. But I got news for you. I'm not just wandering around. I'm going somewhere. One of these days, thank God, this whole walk is going to go a little higher and we're going to go home. This whole walk's a going home. I'm headed somewhere, child of God. Hey, listen, I started out with the Lord many years ago, but hallelujah, I'm going to end up with him on the other side. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," hallelujah, can I tell you, God has a plan. In his plan there is redemption, and redemption only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. If we believe, I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a plan in this walk, and the first step is the redemption plan. But he's not done there. Thank God he's got a resurrection plan. He said, "We shall not prevent them which are asleep. For when the trumpet sounds," and hallelujah, "the dead in Christ shall rise first." Woo. There's a resurrection. Listen, if you don't make it on this side, that's all right. One day he's going to shout and the graves are going to burst open and the dead in Christ are going home. But I'm glad he didn't stop there in his plan, because there's some of us that might still be alive when the resurrection happens. He said, don't you get all worried about that, folks. God's got a rapture in his plan, and it's going to be all right. God's got a way of getting the dead over there, but he's also got a way of getting the living over there. When that trumpet sounds and that voice of the archangel and the voice of God gives a shout, then the dead's going to rise first, but we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it. But them folks in that resurrection is going to leave on an earlier plane. But the plane I'm believing on is going to catch them up. Hallelujah. We're going to catch up with them before we get all the way over to the other side. And we're going home. This thing's a going home. This walk's a going somewhere. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a going. I'm going to a land where there's no more sea. I'm going to a place not made with hands. I'm going to that great beyond. I'm looking forward to going home to be with Jesus. I'm going to say this, there's a redemption in his plan. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's a resurrection in his plan. Those which are dead in Christ, hallelujah, I'm looking forward to seeing my mamma and my papa over there. I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones who have gone before. Oh, I know there's a super spiritual crowd out there. They say, well, I just want to see Jesus. Well, good. I want to see him too. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I don't belittle that for one moment. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible here says there is a reunion in his plan. The dead in Christ and the living are going to meet together on the other side. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to going to that place. This walk is a going home. I'm a going home. Oh, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Nothing a preacher preaches more and makes more people uncomfortable than resurrection and rapture. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, that ought not make you one bit uncomfortable. You ought to be as comfortable as you can be. You ought to be able to say, thank God, one of these days I'm a going home. I'm a leaving this old world behind, and I'm heading to a brand new world with a brand new body. Hallelujah. It's a walk that gets holy. It's a walk that grows, honestly, but it's a walk that goes home. I'm a going home one of these days. How about you? My. You know what we need to focus on? We need to focus on our walk. He said in 1 John chapter 1, he said, if we walk in the light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, my friend, I'm worried about folks who want to claim to be a Christian and don't want to walk with God. Despise holiness. Something's wrong with the crowd. Don't like holiness. I don't know about you, but before God got me saved, he got me real sick of sin. He got real sick of me, got me real sick of myself. He got me real sick of the situation that's going on down here. Boy, I'm going to tell you now, I get kind of homesick to a land I've never been to before. Hallelujah. I'm on a little walk, but it's a walk that gets holy. It's a walk that grows honestly, but it's a walk that's a going home. Are you looking forward to going home? There's only one way to get there, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If you're going to go, there's only one way, there's only one door, there's only one plan of salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together all over the auditorium.